Hear ye, hear ye, hear ye. The Honorable Supreme Court of Ohio is now in open session pursuant to adjournment. You may proceed.
Good morning. First matter on today's calendar is entitled Michael Dean Scott versus Mark Hauk Gordon. Respondent will not be arguing. Mr. Doughton.
Good morning, Your Honors. As the Court's aware, we're back on the certified question, which is where is the proper procedure for addressing the protocol under Ohio's lethal injection for death penalty cases. What's a little bit unusual is I'm sure the Court's well aware after reading the briefs that the position of the Attorney General and of Mr. Helmick and myself are essentially the same. And the reason for that is obvious. What we know from the federal litigation is to properly develop this issue so that this Court would have the necessary evidence before it. It needs extensive discovery. It needs an evidentiary hearing. It needs experts. And the issue and the problem is what forum in Ohio or what procedure in Ohio allows that to happen. What I would like to inform the Court that I would like to suggest something a little different than what we had in our briefs, and I'll explain why. In the interim time from when the brief was filed, there was a decision in one of the Cooey versus Strickland litigation in May where the one of the litigants, Ken Byros, had argued that the quick and painless statute under Ohio gave a liberty interest, therefore a due process 14th Amendment issue. And the Sixth Circuit said no. The reason the Sixth Circuit said no was, although the quick and painless statute was enacted by the legislature didn't put into effect any procedure for challenging that. You know, and because the legislature didn't give a litigant the basis for frankly, litigating that statute, it wasn't deserving of the 14th Amendment protection. The reason I bring that up, it's consistent. Perhaps this Court consider the answer to the federal court of being, no, we don't have a procedure. The problem we all have and we're all having is the ripeness issue. If we litigate this pretrial, the odds of that being the protocol at the time of the actual execution are almost minimal. Currently, they went from a three-drug to a one-drug. There's been news out as late as yesterday that the company in Oklahoma that makes the one-drug is behind in their orders and may not be able to meet their orders. Therefore, Oklahoma is changing back to phenobarbital as opposed to the original drug, which is going to create a lot more litigation on that issue. Reason I bring that up is trying to litigate the ripeness issue, you know, 5, 10, 15 years is a waste of everybody's time, money, and experts. If the answer to the court gave to the federal court was we really don't have a viable procedure, this is really a federal issue in 1983, or habeas as it stands now, the effect is that the matter wouldn't be litigated in Ohio. Habeas litigants, because Ohio didn't have a procedure, would raise it for the first time in habeas, and the issue would be dealt at that time. There wouldn't be default because there was no procedure in Ohio, but Ohio would not be wasting time, money, and experts on a very fluid matter that we're trying to get a hold of.
What would be the appropriate time to schedule the declaratory judgment hearing that you're suggesting is the remedy here?
It's one of the reasons I brought up what I did earlier. The problem is because neither party suggested a time, it would have to be, frankly, at the end of the litigation. The problem with that, of course, is the delay.
Would that be when a jury returned a verdict and a court pronounced a sentence of the death penalty?
No. I think that's what the Attorney General is suggesting. We would believe right now at the end of Ohio's when the state of Ohio finished, this court finished with its litigation, perhaps at that time, but it would be appropriate, but even that's a problem because we all know as a practical reality the habeas litigation on non-lethal injection issues alone could be another 2 to 5 or 6 years.
Well, there can be a certiorari review to the United States Supreme Court from a decision of this court. So are you saying it's appropriate when we conclude whatever determination we would and affirm the death penalty, and that's the time, or would you wait for the U.S. Supreme Court?
Well, that's why I think that the argument – I don't think we can is what it comes down to.
You don't what?
I don't think that this court can put a time without being entirely wasteful. I would argue that it's not
so
right.
So you think the remedy is a declaratory judgment, but you don't know when it should be filed?
I think it should be filed at the end of the Sixth Circuit litigation, into the habeas litigation, because when there's an execution date set at the conclusion of the denial in the United States Supreme Court of the habeas litigation.
And then if the General Assembly at that point determines that we're going to have a firing squad.
Correct.
Also, then we'd start all over again?
That's the problem. That's the problem.
Counsel, are you suggesting — I thought I heard you suggest that we don't litigate the challenge to the method in an Ohio state court, but it's appropriate for the federal court?
What I suggested is this, because of just the practicality, the ripeness issue. That's the problem.
Right.
Because to litigate —
I thought you said because the protocol or the procedure is absent in the statutory framework that talks — you mentioned the quick and painless statute, and that gives support to your argument that maybe this system, our state system, should not take on this issue, and it is more appropriate for the federal court to have the exclusive jurisdiction over this issue.
That's what I suggested, yes. And the reason for that is, one, and I believe Judge O'Donnell pointed out the problem, and it is a problem that we have to face, is that if we litigate this any time prior to the completion of the federal litigation, we could spend time, money on, let's say, chemical experts.
I understand that the method is sure. The issue here, and with advancements in science and obviously supply of the drugs to be used, there can be some problems that present themselves. Is there anything similar where you can point that the state court doesn't have jurisdiction and it's exclusive to the federal court without, you know, a statute to say that, you know, without a preemption in a field, without that type of statutory support?
The short answer is no, I can't.
I thought you were going to give me one.
No. This is a unique situation. When we had execution by the electric chair, it was a pretty standard. The procedure had been the same. It had been the same for years. You could address it pretrial. Everything was known. We're in this situation now where it's changing yearly based upon advances in science, and the idea that it's not going to change again in the next few years is frankly just naive. It would take, if the Sixth Circuit is correct in Cooey, that the legislature didn't enact a procedure for litigating Ohio's own statute, it would take an enactment by the legislature or a rule by this court similar to the Atkins situation.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the problem with the Atkins situation, as the court knows, is then we had a situation where everybody stayed and obeyed and came back and litigated it at that time. Right now, the place where the litigation is in federal court is that the 1983 action is Judge Frost here, but the Sixth Circuit has also remanded the case to Judge Katz in the Northern District of Ohio. He's essentially put this on hold because he doesn't want to duplicate all the discovery and is waiting for Judge Frost to finish that litigation to finish. So this is all being on hold right now. Presumably, once the Supreme Court has ruled, because under Bays, as the court's well aware, the act of execution with lethal injection in and of itself is not unconstitutional.
Mm-hmm.
It's the protocol used that must be challenged on a state-by-state basis. And, in fact, in Kentucky, it was an appeal from a declaratory judgment. That's what Kentucky used, and that's what Bays was based on.
Did Kentucky's statutory scheme allow for their review in the state courts? Was there specific authority that vested that in the state courts?
I am assuming yes, because it was nobody contested that declaratory judgment in Kentucky was the proper forum for raising that under Kentucky law. And from what I can see and have read in the briefings, it was never an issue as far as was that the proper forum. And it's, and frankly, Kentucky was the example, and I'm sure for the Attorney General and ourselves, because it worked well at developing the record so that the Kentucky Supreme Court could review. This, Ohio obviously hasn't addressed that yet. If this court decides that the declaratory judgment is appropriate, what I think both sides would request is being able to litigate it. Right now, I think I suggest in the briefs it would fall upon the public defender if somebody wasn't appointed, but it's costly litigation and it's timely litigation.
At what juncture was it challenged in Kentucky?
My belief is, and I could be wrong in this, it was at the completion of all the substantive litigation.
So after the federal litigation had ceased?
That's my understanding.
And the execution date had been set?
And then it was stayed while they litigated
the methodology of the protocol.
That's correct.
Counsel, isn't it the timing issue that is really the concern here? We could wait till the federal, after the federal process is over, but typically the number of cases that go through direct appeal and have the case determined not to be a death penalty or they reverse the death penalty, that's done at the state level on direct appeal, isn't it? So that if we were to say the DEC action should be done after the direct appeals are concluded, that would give you a pretty good determination of whether this is really an immediacy which is necessary for ripeness to be in effect.
It is, but there's two issues which I think even the Attorney General in their briefing conceded. How do we raise this at the trial court level? Because typically direct appeal issues are first addressed by motion in the trial court. And so if we're required to challenge lethal injection, does that mean that capital defendants in cases are allowed to have hearings, experts, et cetera, pre-trial before the person's been executed? If you make it till post-trial, does it coincide with the direct appeal, or is the direct appeal notice of appeal stayed until the end of that hearing so that this court would be able to address it? That would require a change in the existing procedure.
No, I'm talking about after all the direct appeals are concluded.
This court could do that, but then you have the situation of that will delay the filing of the habeas procedure because we would have to have the Ohio procedure done. The delay in the habeas procedure, let's say it's a year it would take for that type of litigation to be done so that the habeas procedure was doing a year later than usual. So you can challenge it all the way through there. And then we have the problem of if the protocol changes, what do we do then? Does it have to be remanded back to the Ohio courts for another hearing based upon the change in the, frankly, I hope it doesn't sound crass, but the cocktail that's being used if it changes? The good news about all this is once this matter has been decided, it's decided unless there's a change. So this is a headache that, frankly, hopefully we only have to go through one time until there's a change. But experience tells us that's not the case.
Mr. Doughton, I know you're suggesting that the declaratory action is the best course of several possible options.
Yes.
And we've had some conversation about the timing.
Yes.
What about right to counsel?
Well, right now there is no right to counsel. That's why I argue that it would probably have to be the public defender because it should be a right to counsel, but there's no statutory provision for it. If a declaratory judgment is a civil action, as the court's aware, and I don't believe under Ohio law, much as the post-conviction, you're entitled to appointment of counsel. Post-conviction does only where the petitioner files and the court finds merit, and then he's permitted to assign counsel at that time. But it's not required pre-filing that there be criminal defense attorney. That's the problem with declaratory judgment. That's why the problem is it would fall on the Public Defender Commission but then you might have a conflict situation. You know, so there must be some procedure in place that would allow the appointment of counsel for this aspect, unless we're going to rely upon, you know, the ACLU or incident like that, which I don't think the court should do. I think the court should put a procedure in place so that we know that the litigants would be properly represented in the case. Well, for this court's benefit, you would want to have all the evidence and all the testimony in front of you so you can properly decide the issue under the Ohio Constitution.
Okay. This case was certified to us from the federal court on a question of law.
Yes.
It occurs to me, though, that the question really asks the court to issue an advisory opinion as to setting forth procedure in a case. And the federal court's wrestling with the question of whether the defendant, your client, has exhausted administrative remedies. That's the only question the federal court has.
At this point, yes, that's correct. Here's
the court wants us to sort of set up and provide advisory guidance as to how a defendant can prosecute a claim. We don't normally do that. We resolve disputes.
Which is part of the reason why I said the court may just say no. That's one of the things that it came to the conclusion. What the problem is here in federal court for both parties is, was the issue preserved for habeas review because the federal judge doesn't, you know, in order to do that, it has to be, as this court's aware, an adequate remedy. And for that to be, it has to be consistently applied in the state court. And we have a situation where it's unclear in state court where it should be brought up, so that the defense argument would be it's not adequate because how would he know how to preserve it? It's not clear where to preserve it. And I think that's what the judge wants to know for clarification, and frankly, if we can even go on in this litigation. And I do believe essentially the court is correct in that.
Counsel, I'm left with the impression that this might be a matter that would be better addressed in the legislature, where you could wrestle with all these timing issues, these policy questions, where you could have full hearings with a lot more input than this court is getting in this particular case. What are your thoughts in that regard?
Well, my thoughts in that are essentially that's correct. That's what and why I suggested today, after wrestling with this, that and after the Sixth Circuit decision, the answer is no, the legislature has not provided this court with the means to answer your question. You know, until the legislature chooses to address it, we don't have an answer to what you're saying on existing procedure, and essentially that is my position.
What does that mean practically? If we gave that answer, then does every defendant suddenly raise a challenge in federal court, and the federal courts say, well, everything's on hold till the legislature deals with this?
I'm sorry. As a practical matter, that's what's happening right now. You know, for everybody who's raised the lethal injection challenge, the courts, such as just Judge Adams, even if there's not an official stay, they're not having a resolution until the habeas litigation is completed in Judge Katz's room. So that it would change nothing. That's really what's happening
right
now.
It would change this. Everybody else who's parked out there and hasn't gotten that far will now raise that in federal court.
If they haven't got that far, yes. Yes. Although, in all honesty, and I'm sure the court knows that every seminar we're instructing everybody to raise this issue because we don't know it's going to be, if they don't raise it, there's a real problem, but yes.
So basically, this is a procedural issue. In other words, we have to devise whether there is a procedure in place or should there be a procedure in place, and is this court the appropriate entity to identify that procedure or a defendant to challenge, without getting to the merits of the constitutionality of the protocol? You're only asking us to devise a roadmap and stops along that roadmap for your client.
That's essentially correct. Okay. And again, I think both parties agree. We just want to know how and where to properly litigate the issue.
And you suggest that one of our responses could legitimately be, it's not our problem, it's more appropriately addressed in the federal, along the federal line of activity on a case, as opposed to once Ohio is divested by virtue of the federal process and the completion here, that's the appropriate time to address the constitutionality of the protocol.
Yes.
And would that be your preferred course for this court to take?
Yes, it actually would. It would be, first of all, it would save this court litigation, money, time, resources. As a practical matter, once the federal courts have decided, if, and the AG would argue properly, that, you know, it may come down that lethal injection challenge may not even be a habeas issue. Right now, the Sixth Circuit has recognized that it is. That issue will be before the Supreme Court at some point in time. So, you know, it really 1983 may ultimately be the only real challenge for this type of issue.
It also takes care of the representation problem, does it not, if we abdicate this, or maybe we're not even abdicating, but if the action is pursued in the federal system where there is counsel, then you eliminate that roadblock in the state system. It no longer is a deck action of a civil nature, and it comports then with the line of argument in a criminal case.
That's correct.
And then if we did that, though, this court would be giving up its authority over this particular issue, in effect.
Possibly. I mean, I think Judge Brown suggested, and I think he's right, that, you know, this is a matter, particularly based on the Cooey versus Strickland litigation, that the legislature needs to tackle. And I think the position of this court could very fairly be, until the legislature gives us the vehicle to be able to have this properly litigated, our hands are tied, because any review that this court gives to this issue now is fairly cursory, you know, because the court hasn't been able to have all of the evidence, all of the testimony, all of the experts' opinions before it to make its determination. And so this is, you know, frankly, a quagmire that there's kind of a hole in the legislature, and it needs to be corrected either by rule by this court, such as the Murnaghan situation had, mm-hmm. or, you know, by the legislature of corrective nature.
Thank you, Mr. Dowd.
Thank you very much.